7 years since you left Iraq. 6 months here, 3 months there, always moving. There's only two reasons why a man would do that, Saeed. Either he's running away from something or looking for something. Noura Bejassim.
Nobody calls her Noura.
You want to know where she is? Then we're going to Sydney.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Sass and Sips, where every week we will be discussing and dissecting an episode of Lost in order. We are your hosts. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Agnes.
And today's episode is The Greater Good from season one.
Is it really the greater good?
We shall find out.
We shall. Let's dig deeper into this.
What are you drinking today?
I'm keeping it light. I'm just having my coffee with a little bit of fun stuff poured inside. You know, yeah, good stuff.
I have orange seltzer with lemon vodka. I dug up my cup so that if anybody is watching this video.
I bleed blue. I bleed blue. Yes.
That's right. New York Yankees, motherfuckers. Fuck the Red Sox. This episode is coming out on May 4th, so happy Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you.
And, sadly, speaking of my lovely Yankees, with all this bullshit going on, I don't know if I'm going to get to go to Star Wars Day this year, because I don't even know when it is, and I don't even know if we're ever going to be allowed to leave our houses again.
I'm sure there'll be like a social streaming version. I don't know.
I take my kids every year to Star Wars night at the stadium.
Okay, so you guys can hear this. We're going to make sure we get Star Wars Day just for Lisa. Or she might
somebody actually lose her fucking shit. Yes,
she's going to lose her shit.
I'll sit in the fucking bleachers. I'll sit in the last row. I don't care. But somebody sent me and my kids tickets.
So if this doesn't happen and you lose your shit, we got to record you losing your shit. Because that would be gold right there. Anywho.
Flashbacks. Saeed is led through Heathrow Airport in handcuffs to an interrogation room. Inside, he's introduced to CIA agent Alyssa Cole and ASIS agent Robbie Hewitt. 300 pounds of C4 explosives were stolen from an army base outside of Melbourne by a terrorist cell. One of the members of this cell is Issam Tassir, with whom Saeed shared a room at Cairo University. If Saeed will infiltrate this cell through his friendship with Issam, the CIA will tell Saeed where he can find Nadia. In Australia, Saeed is praying in a mosque and watching Issam, who is praying a few rows in front of him. Towards the end of the prayer, Issam turns and recognizes Saeed. Saeed meets up with him outside the mosque, and the two catch up on old times. Issam has been in Sydney for about a year, working as a lumberjack. Saeed inquires about Zara, Issam's wife, and learns she was killed some time ago by a stray bomb while shopping. Saeed gives his condolences, and Issam invites Saeed to come to his apartment. In Assam's apartment, his roommates, Yusef and Haddad, are playing a video game. Saeed is introduced, and during the course of small talk, he notices an electronic surveillance device in the smoke detector. Saeed takes apart the alarm and finds a listening device. Assam explains to Haddad and Yusef that Saeed knows of such things because of his past in the Iraqi Republican Guard. Haddad suggests it may have been fate that brought Saeed to them. Saeed and Issam are playing soccer in a park. The conversation turns towards the plans of the cell. Haddad has been asking Saeed technical questions about blast radius and transport methods for explosives, but hasn't mentioned whether any have been acquired yet. Issam doesn't know, but he has been told his role in the mission. Issam is to martyr himself as a suicide bomber, but has doubts.
Dun, dun, dun. I just felt like it was right.
Saeed relays this information to agents Cole and Hewitt and pleads with them to help Issam get out. They refuse because if Issam disappears, the cell will become suspicious, scrap the mission, and the explosives will disappear again. The agents instruct Saeed to convince Issam to go ahead with the mission. Saeed refuses, and Agent Cole threatens to have the CIA arrest Nadia as an enemy combatant with a record of insurgency. If Saeed ever wants to see Nadia again, he will have to convince his friend Issam to blow himself up. Saeed and Issam are walking through Sydney. Issam is terrified and wants to back out. Saeed tells him to do it for the greater good. When Issam doubts the goodness of the suicide attack, Saeed tells him to do it for Sara. Someone must avenge her death. He decides to do it and asks Saeed to go with him. For Issam, her dad was right. They have been brought together by fate. A van pulls up to Saeed as he leaves the apartment. Haddad and Issam tell him the time has come and to get in. They drive to a warehouse and get into a truck full of explosives. Haddad gives them both last-minute instructions and gives Issam a pistol in case of trouble. Then he leaves. As Issam starts the truck, Saeed tells him to stop. He admits to working with the CIA and offers Issam a 10-minute head start before he calls the authorities. Issam is furious at Saeed's betrayal, and he holds a gun to Saeed's throat. Instead of killing him, however, he turns the gun on himself. Outside the warehouse, Assam's covered body is being wheeled away. Agent Cole honors her end of the deal and tells Saeed that Nadia lives in Irvine, California. She gives him some money and a plane ticket for a flight to Los Angeles, which leaves in 2 hours. Saeed is curious about what will happen to Assam's body and is told unless someone claims the body, it will be cremated. This is in contradiction to Muslim tradition, and Saeed demands his flight be pushed back so he may claim the body and make proper funeral arrangements. The agents agree, and he will be booked the next day on Oceanic Flight 815. On the island, Saeed and Shannon sit with Boone's body. Saeed asks if there's anything he can do for her. He says Boone was brave to the end. He wouldn't let Jack use up the antibiotics and wouldn't let Jack take his leg. Kate finds Jack, who was running erratically through the jungle looking for Locke. He's sleep deprived, low on blood, and furious because he based his medical treatment of Boone on Locke's story that he'd fallen off a cliff. Jack feels that if he'd been properly informed from the beginning, he might have been able to save Boone, and thus, he sees Locke as a murderer for lying. Kate asks him to come back to camp because the group needs leadership and because Jack's been running through the jungle in circles. Hurley and Jack carry Boone's remains to the burial site for a funeral. The entire camp is present and somber. Jack asks Shannon to say a few words about her brother, but she can't. After a pregnant pause, Saeed gives the following eulogy.
I didn't know Boone very well, and for that I'm sorry. On our sixth day here, a woman named Joanna died. She drowned, and Boone was the first one into the water. I didn't know him, but I'll remember his courage, and I know he will be missed.
Hey guys, we are here with an update to our scheduling. We just wanted to let you guys know that from Memorial Day to Labor Day, we are going to be going back to every other week publishing schedule. Okay, say something witty here.
Witty, because actually as you're talking, because you kind of, I don't know if this is witty or not, but you sounded very sex kitten when you said hello. I was like, oh.
Agnes is at a loss for words, apparently.
I
I know it doesn't happen.
This is like a 30-second promo, and you don't have words. But okay, the point is, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, we're going to release our regularly scheduled Lost episodes every other Monday. MAPS will still be every 2 weeks, and Spotlight will still be the first of the month. And then after Labor Day, we will go back to Lost being put out every week, just so that we can be able to spend a little bit more time with our families and enjoy the summer. So that's it. That was the update.
As Saeed finishes, I was waiting for Look, you to say something.
I just did the eyebrow thing, like...
You don't like that he gave...
I'm trying to be not respect the dead characters. No, it's not that. It's just, I don't know. I think it's a little bit too syrupy sweet. And I'm just like, listen.
To Saeed?
Yeah. Did he really feel that way? Is that really how he felt?
I like Saeed. I know that
I do too. I like him.
He did that for Shannon.
And it wasn't that.
That's how I took it.
It wasn't what he... I think anyone would have said it. At anything, you're like, really, is that really how you felt? Like, I'm just jaded. I'm like,
I think that was his way of
supporting Shannon,
of supporting her, trying to comfort her, but not being like a liar, because he really didn't know Boom. So what could he say that would sound genuine?
Okay, you know what? You have a very good point there. I concur.
Okay.
You're like, that was too easy. You're scared.
Basically.
I don't argue all the time.
Hey, everyone. Lisa here. I want to take a moment to tell you about this really cool travel backpack that I got. It's made by Muzzam, and it's so cool. As you know, Agnes and I are not in the same state, so we travel to see each other quite frequently. This backpack makes it so easy to do so. The bag has space for everything. When I fly, I don't like to check a bag. This makes it so easy for me to bring everything that I need with me on carry-on, including recording equipment. It has a space for everything. Trust me when I say that if you travel, even if it's just for a road trip, this bag is perfect for you. Go to muzzam.com now and use our promo code SASPOD for 20% off of your new bag. Trust me when I say you'll love it.
As Saeed finishes, Locke arrives, still covered in Boone's blood. He takes the blame for Boone's death and tries to explain the circumstances. The beach craft in the tree, his leg, the radio, the plane falling, almost everything. He calls Boone a hero. Jack is hurt enough. He tackles Locke and starts to pummel him, screaming that Locke lied. Finally, Sawyer and Charlie manage to pull him off. Jack collapses from sheer exhaustion. Any thoughts on that scene?
Not really, just typical Jack. I find it funny that he's looked at like a leader of sorts. He doesn't have, like, he's a good man. He's a decent guy. I don't think he's, you know, he's not a bad guy. He's annoying as fuck. But he has a bad habit of just jumping off the cliff with his emotions. And doesn't make for a good leader, because everyone is going to follow suit. As you'll see, the rest of this episode is his declaration of Locke's a liar that gets Shannon to where she's at towards the end. He needs to just calm the fuck down just a tad bit sometimes. I don't think he makes a really good leader for that quality. If you're going to flip the fuck out, you do it in private, not in front of a whole beach of people. Because better or worse, they look towards you for what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but he annoys the fuck out of me. He's not a bad guy. Just my eyes are getting major exercise. Strong and muscle in the body, all these eye rolls. But yeah, it's funny how you always look at me like I'm just gonna say some shit.
Uh-huh.
Am I that predictable?
No, but
yes.
All right. Sometime later, Saeed, Kate, and Sun walk Jack back to his tent and try to calm him down. Jack insists Locke is lying. He tells them Boone's last words about the hatch and how Locke did not want him to tell. They convince him it's more important at the moment for the one doctor on the island to be rested. Jack isn't the only one in dire need of rest. As Charlie and Sun are trying to convince a haggard-looking Claire to sleep, she's afraid to in case something would happen to the baby. And she's not at all reassured when Charlie calls him turnip head.
That's funny, though.
Finally, Charlie convinces her by swearing he will personally guard the baby until she wakes up. Down the beach.
Okay. So at this scene, I kind of realize I'm that friend where I'm kind of logical and abrasive at times. Because times like this, hey, I get that you want to protect your baby, but you can't do shit when you're tired. What the fuck, you stupid? Like, I kind of do the whole logic, abrasive, smack out of it, kind of. I'll be here to support you, but let's not the fuck out of it. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think they're just too, I was annoyed. I'm like, okay, stop coddling her and let's like, listen, bitch.
Yeah, but.
But that's just but me.
No, and I get that. But they all just met each other.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, no.
So it might not be the same thing as.
It's coming from a good friend. Who,
like, we have known them, quote unquote, for almost a year now.
That's a very good point. It's been a month. But I'm like that with strangers, though. I'm like that with everybody.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to just call you stupid and smack you such a head, but I kind of like, I believe in that dose of reality with the support. It needs to be both. And that's just the way I rock. Like, you know what? I understand this is how you feel, but let's be logical about shit. You're going to fall asleep by holding your baby. What happens to the baby then? So I think I'm like that with strangers.
Oh my God. Period. Side note, when Amaris was little, she never slept. This child never, ever slept. I was so tired that I used to sit on the floor with her because she had to be held. And she only wanted me. She didn't want Alex.
You're like, fuck.
So I would sit on the floor with her up against the wall so that, God forbid, if I dropped her.
You're already on the floor. Yeah. Right. These kids.
I understand, Claire.
No, I totally get it. But
from both sides. Like,
but there's one thing where I'm tired, my kid won't sleep, and there's that I'm tired and I just don't want to sleep because I'm afraid for my child. And I get it. I totally get it. But I think at one point logic has to, like, what good are you if you have it? If something does happen, right. You're exhausted. Yeah. What good are you? You're not doing anything for your child. But yeah. Tough love. I am tough love with everybody. And then I freak out in private, in the shower, or in my car.
Like normal people.
Yeah. Totally.
Down the beach, a grieving Shannon sits alone. Locke walks over tentatively and offers her Boone's belongings. They talk about how brave and how stubborn Boone was. Locke acknowledges Shannon's grief and anger. Offers his condolences, and asks for forgiveness. As he leaves, Shannon watches him walk away, and she begins to cry. Back at Saeed's tent, Shannon reminds Saeed he offered to help her. The only help she wants is revenge on John Locke.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I was like... At Jack's tent, Kate has Jack drinking juice out of a bowl. He tries to give it back to her, but she insists he finish it all. He needs to get his blood sugar back up. Jack tries to get up and find Locke again. Kate strongly advises that he lie down because she crushed sleeping pills into the juice that she gave him. As Jack tries to process the fact that Kate drugged him, he falls heavily into sleep. At the caves, Locke is trying to wash the blood out of his shirt when Saeed approaches. Saeed asks Locke to take him out to the beachcraft. under the pretext of retrieving any working parts from the radio. As Saeed and Locke walk through the jungle towards the plane, Saeed asks several questions of Locke, feeling him out as they go. Locke notices the interrogation and suspects that it's because Jack called him a liar in front of everyone at the funeral. Saeed doesn't deny it. Finally, they arrive at the downed craft. Back at the beach, Charlie is having a hard time getting the baby to stop crying, and Hurley tries to help him out. They sing him a lullaby.
Ish.
Ish. Check his diaper. And finally, Hurley pulls out the big guns. He sings, "I got you. I feel good," at the top of his lungs, but to no avail. Somehow, and I love Hurley, but why did he look like a South Park character singing? He looked like Cartman trying to sing that song.
Okay, but it got me going. I was like, oh,
great time, but it looked like Cartman. At the beach craft, Saeed inspects the wreckage, including the bags of heroin. Locke asks why Saeed doesn't trust him, and Saeed says a part of it is the gun in Locke's pocket he's kept a secret. Locke hands over the weapon and tells Saeed where it came from, but that isn't trustworthiness according to Saeed, it's just adaptability. Locke admits that during the mission to triangulate Danielle's signal, it was Locke who knocked him out. Isn't that what you had said?
Yep. And as I said, like, see, I was right. But I knew we had a good reason then.
Was it really a good reason? Because we're going to get to that.
Yes. I have a theory. I agree with Mr. Locke. I mean, his method may not have been the best, but...
Saeed grabs the gun in one hand and Locke's throat in the other. Locke says he did it to protect the group because the message said it killed them, it killed them all, and it didn't seem like a good place to go. Saeed then asks about the hatch. Locke sidesteps and says the plane has a hatch at each end.
That's a good lie.
Yeah, that was slick. But when he says that he did it to protect them, do you
think I think it's bullshit.
That's bullshit too.
Like, he went from not walking to walking. Like, I don't blame him not wanting to leave. But that being said, even though it's bullshit, kind of makes sense in a way. Like, you're like, it's like, okay, it's like those horror movies. Wait, let's go into this pitch dark house and we hear strange noises. Let's go and investigate. Like, it's kind of like, it's the same premise. But it's a good reason for
Locke. Yeah, but if the message is saying it killed them all on a radio tower, the threat then is already there, if you can hear it. So what does going to the radio tower, like if somebody went to the tower to do it, but my words are not making sense.
No, I get it. But I get it. I get what you're trying to say.
It's not like the message didn't say stay away from the radio tower. The radio tower was just the vehicle to deliver a message. It doesn't say what killed them all. So what does going to the radio tower have to do with anything?
At that point, who knows where the radio tower is? Who knows where you're going to go while you're exploring, trying to figure out where you're going? Because it's not like the whole group of people can go and protect each other. You have, a group of people? I don't know. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. Like, play Indiana Jones? May not be the best thing at this point because by then they're like there for less than a week at this point,
right?
So, like, what the fuck are you doing?
But somebody made it to the tower
16 years ago,
okay?
And it's still repeating, and no one's ever heard anything about it. It's like no good come of this. If it's still repeating, no one found it. So, if no one found it, it's a moot point. Like it was still repeating and the sex was still going on, they would never stay.
Or no one could get there again to change it.
Okay, there's that too.
Or they got saved and then there was no one left to change it.
Okay, there's that. Okay.
If that was your signal and then somebody came and rescued you, would you think, okay, wait.
No, you're absolutely right. The radio tower. Wait, let me change it. So don't...
Let me change it to bye. We out. Peace.
Peace. I feel mocked. Nope. That makes sense. But we both agree that's bullshit. Went from not being able to walk. So would you want to leave? No.
No.
All of a sudden I'm useful. You know, I feel like a man again. Like, you know, I feel like I am getting respect. Fuck no, I wouldn't want to go.
Yeah,
all
of a sudden he went from this employee at a box company who was, you know, berated by middle management, couldn't walk.
A douchebag at that.
I mean, we don't...
Couldn't do his walkabout.
Wait, and we don't know... At that point, we didn't really know anything about his history.
We didn't know that he hit him? We didn't know yet?
I don't remember.
Or soon thereafter, I think, maybe.
But even if we knew about him not being able to walk and then walking, or the whole, his first flashback, but even now, we know a little bit more. We know that he got conned by his father.
Fuck father.
So, like, he's had a terrible,
this is the best thing that's happened to him.
Right. He grew up in a foster, well, he was never adopted, so he grew up in a foster home. His sister broke her neck. His father conned him out of a kidney. I mean, like, at every turn, he is an unlucky son of a bitch. And you feel sorry for his life. All of a sudden, he's on this island and he is smart. He's respected. He's needed. He's got all these attributes that make him almost kind of put him above on the who's important hierarchy of,
he's an essential employee.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so going to hell.
But it's true. But yeah, so looking back at what we know now, it's easy to understand why he wouldn't want to leave.
I concur.
And so you can get into his headspace. But
I'm all in his headspace. All of it.
Then he tells Saeed, oh, you wouldn't understand. But make him understand. Like, you knocked the motherfucker unconscious.
But we still have the episode. Does he... He might. What? I mean, there's more episodes. He might make him understand.
Yeah, but his point is that he tells Saeed, I did that because you wouldn't understand. Instead of just using his words, he didn't try. He just went straight to knocking him out.
Men don't. I mean, granted, he knocked him out before they really knew each other. So, like, back to what you said. I don't know. Y'all have a deep conversation? No. I think it's just more expedient at this situation. Because
he assumed then. He didn't know if he would understand. He assumed.
Good point. That's a very good point. But hey, I used to be stuck in a wheelchair, but now I can walk. So can we not leave the island? Like,
of course.
I'd like to see how that goes.
Of course. You see how that's going to go over?
Wait a minute. I'm just picturing that conversation.
This takes into the assumption that he won't have free will. If somebody comes over there to rescue them, they can't force them to leave.
Very good point.
So why couldn't he just be like, all right, it was nice knowing you people for a week. I'm going to stay here.
Okay, here's a question. Here's a thought. What if it's a combination of both?
What do you mean?
Hey, I don't want to leave this island because my life is good here. Or it has the potential of being good because it's like a week later.
It has more meaning, definitely.
And part of it is something's not right. No good could come of us traversing through this fucking jungle. Maybe it could be a combination of both. Because everything he does, it's not purely for self-interest. It has a little bit of Me, and also, it also makes fucking sense for us to do it this way. So, you know what? It's never been one-sided with him. It's a little bit of both.
Later, back at the beach, Saeed asks Shannon to take a walk with him. He tells her he's spoken with Locke and believes Boone's death was honestly an accident. Shannon is not satisfied. At the raft, Walt has questions about the safety of the raft. And Michael tries to reassure him. Walt was so cute. He's like, what if there's sharks? What if we die? Like, such a kid.
Oh, right. I forgot about that scene. It was a normal scene. Nothing noteworthy.
Charlie walks up with the crying baby. And Sawyer expresses his irritation at the sound of the crying. At the sound of Sawyer's voice, however, the baby immediately stops crying. Charlie understands quickly and starts following Sawyer around because it's the only thing that works so far.
This is probably my favorite scene in the whole episode because I love that life keeps thwarting Sawyer's ability, like his need to be ornery and alone. And life's like, yeah, no. They keep throwing shit at him. So like, nope, you're not going to kill this one. Oh, nope, sorry. Baby likes you. Like, fuck, man. Nope, his opportunity to be a good guy again. Like, I love it.
And he's trying to walk away, and Charlie is just kind of following behind him on his heels. Damn near running.
Sorry, Sawyer. You're not the bad guy you want to believe. Life is going to throw you. Like, most people, like, life throws you lemons, you make lemonade. Life is throwing him lemonades. He's trying to throw back lemons.
A groggy Jack wakes up as Kate watches over him. She's brought food. But he doesn't trust it. He's like, chloroform.
He needed it. Then I said he needed to take a chill pill.
Or a few. Suddenly, he notices the key to the gun case is missing from his necklace. He starts looking around frantically. Saeed notices the commotion and walks over to see what's going on. Jack assumes that Locke took it and is after the guns. But Saeed believes that someone else may be responsible. It starts pouring rain as Shannon pulls a gun from the case. I swear to God, rain always equals bad news.
Here it goes again. Jack flying off the handle again. But okay, continue. Fucking Jack.
If you were Jack and you knew that Shannon was after the guns to go after Locke, what would you have done?
No, but Jack thought it was Locke who took it. He was like, he did it. Like, so it's him flying off the handle again. Like, wait, slow the fuck down.
Okay, I see.
He's reactionary, and it's annoying the fuck out of me.
Saeed, Jack, and Kate sprint through the jungle in the rain. Saeed breaks into the clearing first and finds Shannon with the gun pointed at Locke. They all try to talk her down, but she doesn't believe them. Saeed tackles her just as she fires, and Locke falls to the ground. Shannon is furious and runs away. Kate runs after her. Jack looks at Locke's grazed head and walks away disgusted, leaving Locke sitting in the mud. Still later, Charlie sits in Sawyer's tent with the baby while Sawyer reads from an automotive magazine.
Second best scene in the whole episode.
The sound of his voice is still the only thing keeping the baby from crying, as they find out whenever Sawyer stops reading. Claire walks up curious and sits down with them. Saeed stares at a now subdued Shannon from a distance, and Kate tries to comfort him. Saeed wonders aloud if he didn't make a mistake. There's always a choice. Locke sits at the fire, putting a salve on his head. Saeed approaches, and Locke thanks him for saving his life. Saeed explains that he did it because he senses that Locke will be their best hope for survival on the island, but he doesn't forgive Locke, and he doesn't trust him. Saeed demands Locke take him to the hatch. Locke tries to sidestep again, but Saeed won't hear any more lies.
Dun, dun, dun.
Let's just do trivia, and then we'll just talk about, yeah.
Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, so let's just do trivia, and then we'll keep going. An apparent continuity error arises when Shannon is shown to know the location and purpose of the Halliburton case key. When only Kate, Locke, and Jack had been shown to have his knowledge.
Yes, I noticed that. I was like, wait, did I miss something? I felt stupid for a second.
No. You'll find out later in the series how she knew.
Okay.
It'll be revealed how she knew where it was.
Don't have to wait like 3 years?
Yeah, just about.
Oh, shit. Like, I want to remember. Like, I want to remember this.
No, okay. But when you see it, you'll... When okay. you get there, you'll know.
Sure. Okay, if you say so.
Ian Somerhalder is credited for playing Boone's corpse. Well, that's an easy gig. You just gotta lie there dead.
Well, that's a lot of... To be completely still?
Yeah, I'm good. I can do that.
Okay. Yeah, practice my whole life.
So there's a blooper. After they come across the crash plane, Saeed has a pistol pointed at Locke. Saeed cocks the hammer on the pistol, despite the fact that the pistol, which is likely a Glock, does not have a hammer. I don't know enough about guns, personally. I want to see it
again. I don't... If it's... I want to see the scene now.
Saeed is seen in Heathrow Airport in London being escorted by two soldiers. Security at Heathrow would normally fall under the provision of the Metropolitan Police. And at the warehouse, Haddad gives both Saeed and Assam jackets to wear in order to appear convincing in the bomb vehicle. The name tag Steve on Saeed's jacket is originally pinned on upside down and remains so when he enters the van. Moments later, it is corrected with no interference from Saeed.
Well, there's a lot of that in TV world. Like, yeah. Both little things.
Are you putting on this episode now?
I had it on there, and I kind of want to... Yeah, I kept it on there. I always keep the episode, like, in the background, just in case. Did he take the gun before they got to the plane or right after they got to the plane?
26 minutes.
I'm at 24 now. Okay. People are like, are they really going? Yes, we are really going back.
This is what happens if you want all the behind-the-scenes shit.
Right. Look at the hot mess that we are.
By your arm that I'm not. Is that for me and trust? You gave this to me because I called you convincingly. That owes you that ability.
He didn't clock a hammer. Please. From what I'm seeing, if it's the right part, he has the gun in his hand. He takes the magazine out. He checks the clip. That's what you hear. So it's not a hammer that's being clacked. That's him taking out the magazine, putting the magazine back in, chambering the round.
Okay, gun mistress.
I am not a gun mistress, yes. But yeah, whoever wrote that was incorrect. It wasn't a hammer being clocked back.
The information that I have also makes a point, which I didn't even kind of connect. In the flashback, Saeed tries to convince Assam to go through with the martyrdom by claiming that killing innocent people is for the greater good. Mm-hmm. And Christian Shepherd earlier told Jack that being a surgeon is about the greater good.
Oh.
And they're both kind of using it to go through with things that are not good ideas.
Good ideas. So that's my question at the beginning. Is it really, though? Is it really for the greater good?
Okay.
We'll find out. Like, yes and no. I mean, yes. Is it manipulative? Is it part manipulative? Is it part reality? I think everyone needs to take the opportunity and just figure out for themselves. There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. Okay, but let me try to be mysterious. It's not working.
No.
She's like, no, it's not.
It's not that it's not working, but I think that it's just not so simple. In this one episode, you have two sides. You have Saeed faced, in a sense, with the same dilemma on the island and off the island. He has to make a choice between what he considers a friend and what he considers a love. On the island, that's Shannon and Locke.
Doing the right thing for the bigger picture, or doing the right thing for you personally.
And sometimes there isn't.
Shannon and Locke, the right thing for the island.
No, off the island is Nadia and Assam.
And there's no right or wrong answer in any one of those situations. It's just
off the island. He chose love.
Then, as you see, and then this one, she's still pissed. You're like, the fuck, you can't win. There is no right or wrong answer. It's just life.
And that's where he was headed to. He chose Nadia. He delayed his flight so that give Issam a proper burial, and it got him to the island and ultimately to Shannon.
I find it like it's kind of like at the end of his life, he was like, no, don't waste it on me. I'm about to die. Just let me go. I'm like, oh, at the end, he finds opportunity not to be a self-absorbed douchebag. Yay.
At the same time, though.
I'm so mean to TV characters. I know.
But let's give him a little bit of credit, because clearly Shannon had used his attraction to her as a way to get money out of him.
No, absolutely. She's manipulative.
Even though, yeah, he was in love with her and he had these feelings for her, but clearly every single time he dropped what he was doing to go to her.
Okay, first of all, with the whole, with the nanny, and because he said because his mother didn't give him enough attention, he would pretty much harass his nanny, have her come up and down the stairs, and that's how he ended up tripping and falling, because I wanted the attention, so I was being petulant. Two, eventually, he was responsible for how he reacted to how she treated him. If you keep allowing her to manipulate you, after a while, you lose. No one feels sorry for your dumbass anymore, because you normally know she's manipulating you. You normally still go.
Well,
so.
I think that this is the first time I got the impression that in Sydney, this was the first time that he realized it, because the boyfriend spilled it. I don't think he knew. I think that up until then,
I think he knew. He didn't want to admit to it. I think it was okay. Like, this is the first time someone told him. I think he's always known.
This is the first time he couldn't deny.
Right.
Okay. I could see that. But yeah. Then, I think that either way, there was no going back after that one. But that's
yeah, no.
The and I just realized that when he talks about the nanny, she fell down and she broke her neck, right?
Right.
And that's how Locke's sister died.
Right.
That's a whole lot of broken necks. Isn't that weird? When Locke is washing the blood out of his shirt, Walt is looking at him kind of strangely. Do you remember?
I missed that part. I must have been looking up.
Locke is like wringing out the shirt in the mm-hmm. in the waterfall or something, and Locke waves to him.
I missed that part.
And then he just kind of walks away. But it's such a change, because they were so connected before, and now it's like Locke is just being Locke. You know, he's just, you know, like saying his hi, but Walt is not saying anything. He just observes, he looks, but he doesn't say anything, and he just walks away.
I think it's a combination of him opening up and becoming closer with his father, and he knows how his father feels. Like, children know how, he's not stupid, he knows how his father feels about Locke.
And he definitely got closer to his father in this episode.
Yeah, after he burned down the first raft and started working with him the second one, that relationship built. And once Michael actually opened up and became vulnerable with his son, obviously their relationship is growing. And I don't think their fearless leader, I said that with the utmost sarcasm, outbursts during the funeral helped any. Like, you know, you're laughing at me, I know.
It was like your eyes are just, they're like a slot machine over here, rolling around up there.
I mean, I think they could have picked somebody else so much better to be their leader, so to speak, the unofficial leader. Saeed, I think, may have been slightly better, maybe. Shit. Walt might have been better.
Vincent.
So, yeah.
We haven't even seen Vincent.
Where's Vincent? I need a Vincent. Cameo. Vincent's like, all these motherfuckers are nuts.
I'm out.
Right.
All right. And Locke refers to his scar as a war wound.
And it was. I get it. It's an emotional war he went through with the fucking dirtbag parents. So sorry.
When Saeed and Locke are together walking towards the plane, and Saeed is interrogating Locke. How did you feel when you were watching that scene?
Indifferent. Expected. I knew he was So we all know he was actually interrogating him. It wasn't friendly conversation. Locke knows it's not friendly conversation. So it's like, everyone knows what's up. You kind of sit there like, okay, just get to the point. Like,
yeah, and...
Like, they both know that the other one knows. Like,
And I feel like that whole shit was just a matter of, like... Like, they should have just started measuring at that point. Because... because they're both... Like, Saeed is kind of doing what Saeed does. Saeed is trying to get to the bottom, get the information. But he's smart, he's observant, but so is Locke. Locke doesn't have the training that Saeed does. But at the same time, you can see that Locke is, like, smug.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, I'll tell you something that you don't know.
Love it.
Like, and what was the point? Just be like, oh, look, I knocked you out. Like, you might have a gun, but I knocked you out. Like,
I think there was something to it that we don't know yet. He has this... I think that was his whole, like, don't underestimate me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was just like, don't sleep on me. Like, my man Locke. Hi, Terry.
After seeing another Saeed episode, and granted, like, we don't really get a lot about his background. We do find out what he was doing in Australia, you know, and how he ended up on the plane, and why, if he's from Iraq, why he was going to Los Angeles. So we have those pieces. But after seeing another Saeed episode, have your thoughts on Saeed changed at all? Have you?
There's very few characters that I love. Most of the characters, most of them are in that I'm like, meh. And he's a meh. I don't love him. I don't hate him. He's a good character. There's maybe a few that there's only like one or two that I love, and then one or two that I despise, and everyone's like,
I really like Saeed. He's up there for me. For me. And in fairness, I know more about his history than you do. So that might also be coloring my view. I think that Saeed has a lot of depth to his character.
I agree.
And even only being in the first season, even only after seeing two episodes, I think that we can see that he is the kind of person who has a lot of layers and a good heart.
Yes, I concur. No rebuttals from me. I agree with you on that.
And I know that you like to talk about all his misogyny, and I get it, but I also think that we underestimate the fact that he's from a different culture. And I don't, and like, as opposed to Jack and his infinite daddy issues, I feel like when Saeed does it, Saeed, like, Jack should know better, whereas Saeed maybe not. Does that make sense?
So, I know what you're trying to say. I do get it. But here's me playing devil's advocate. Misogyny knows no bounds.
Okay.
No culture, no race, no anything. So, do we accept it from one and not the other because two different cultures?
I'm not saying that you...
I'm going to say devil's advocate. I'm not really saying that's what you're saying.
No. I know.
Okay.
But I think that it's one thing to accept it, and then it's another thing to understand it. I think that Saeed has shown himself, like, even when he was trying to get Shannon to do the calculations,
mm-hmm.
he encouraged her. Yeah, he was like, maybe this was a bad idea also.
Yeah.
But I think that was his own frustration more than being frustrated with her. I think that he was just frustrated at the situation. And that he couldn't do it. But
No, go ahead. No.
When she was building the tarp and she asked him for help.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I don't remember exactly, but go ahead.
Okay, remember, this is like right after Boone told Saeed that this is what she does. She finds a guy.
Oh, right.
And so then when he walks over to her, she said, oh, could you help me? And he goes, oh, I think you're doing a fine job.
Right.
On one hand, I think he was kind of testing her. But on the other hand, like, he's still being encouraging. You know, like, I think that you're capable. And he's saying things, and even with the
he has an opinion of her was colored by Boone's hurt feelings. And at the same time, like, no, you don't have to ask me. You can do it the same it yourself. Okay, I concur. To be fair, I think I have so many people on the meh list. Uh-huh. I'm still not 100% invested in the show yet.
If you say 93 degrees,
I give you like 95 and a half before.
No, because you've been at like 93 since like 5 episodes ago. And then you're like, oh, no, but it's like 94. No, you've been at 94. Like, you keep saying, oh,
I
but.
I gave you 95 and a half before. Wasn't it like 95 and a half?
No, that's what you keep saying, but you've been like at 94. So you should be at like 99 by now.
But my feelings haven't changed. Back to listen. Huh?
Go back and listen then.
Oh, well, since you do all the editing. So let me know when you get to the last time.
We didn't do a drinking game.
No, we didn't. I think that's the next time.
There's a Kate episode next.
I like Kate.
Anything you're hoping to learn?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I want to go in there with an open mind. Give me what you got, Kate episode.
Are you hoping to maybe find out what she did to put her on the run or?
I don't think I'll get that lucky to find out already. Like, but, like, what are the odds?
Honestly, I don't remember which K episode this is offhand.
Good.
So, good. Fine. Good. Whatever. Fine. So you're just looking for more history on Kate.
Yeah.
More information.
Because mm-hmm. Okay. I like her enough to, like, be interested in whatever they want to give me. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's that look. I hate you. You're driving me nuts. But meanwhile, you don't know. You don't remember it anyway. So that's just you being okay. You're just fucking
well,
with
I
me.
Don't
you're gaslighting me.
I am, but I don't a little bit. No. But I honestly just don't remember offhand. Like I have two episodes in mind. Two Kate episodes.
You're being so flippant, like you know something. You really don't right now.
I really don't. I have two in my head. And I don't remember which one it is.
We'll find out together. Now, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
I like that emoji with like all the teeth all the teeth showing. Like, I do, don't I?
You do. Okay. Well, that'll do it for this episode. If you have any thoughts about this episode, anything that we missed, feel free to send it to us. Stay tuned for next time when we'll talk about Born to Run and the alcohol has gotten to my head. This is a big ass cup, okay?
I'm so proud of you. Huh. Drink more. You're too sober.
If you'd like to support the show, we can be found at patreon.com/taspod. You could also support the show by telling your friends or sharing our show or giving us a review. But we have social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find us there. You can email us. You can call us or text us. Don't forget to show our sponsors some love because they help make this podcast possible. The links are in the show notes. So, you know, go check them out. Buy something. Treat yourself.
Beat yourself. I like that one. That's a good one.
Thank you guys for listening. Please don't forget to drink responsibly. Until next time, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Agnes, I think.
And we are out of here.
Peace.
Hi, and
I'm sorry. We're a fucking mess. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, and
I'm sorry. Your face is hysterical. Okay. All right. All right. I'm done.
You're not done. Saeed is led through Heathrow Airport in handcuffs to an... not even one sentence in.
I didn't do it this time.